We turn now to our time of questions of faith. And questions of faith is a time that we take questions that have come from the congregation about faith, about life, about the intersection of faith and life. And the question that we have today didn't come from one of the blue prayer cards that sometimes comes in. This question came in through some personal contacts, both face-to-face and over social media over the course of this week. And the question is, what is my response to the shooting in Parkland, Florida? So, the first thing I will do is I will share what is the United Methodist stance on gun violence. Now, when I say the United Methodist stance, let me quantify what I mean by that. The United Methodist stance is from our United Methodist Book of Resolutions. Now, the United Methodist Church doesn't have a single person who is the voice of the United Methodist Church. We don't have a pope like our Catholic siblings. We don't have any single person. What we do have is a representative body who gathers every quadrennium, every 4 years, and if a majority of the people in that representative body affirm a particular, you know, rule about salaries and pensions or a particular statement, then that is the official statement of the United Methodist Church. So, the first thing I will say is that this statement is extensive, and so I'm not going to read the entire thing. I've already posted it on the church's Facebook page, so if you go to facebook.com/pbumc, you'll find it. I posted it on Thursday, but I will read some highlights. It's titled, Book of Resolutions, Our Call to End Gun Violence. It begins by quoting Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more, but they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. It continues talking about some of the imagery of Micah's dream, talking about the transformation of weapons into elements that feed us. And then it goes on to acknowledge that violence in many ways is fueled by fear, fueled by self-protection. It talks about how iron plows and pruning tools can be used as weapons, and yet in Micah's vision, genuine peace and security are given to all people by God after those weapons of violence are transformed. The statement continues to talk about a crucial step toward curbing violence is on the international scale is the Arms Trade Treaty that passed the United Nations in 2013, and it goes on to describe that. It goes on to talk about gun violence that greatly affects families and individuals. It says one of the most prominent forms of gun violence is suicide, and talks about the prevalence of weapons being used in suicide. It's not one of the statistics in this, but we may remember that there are something like 22 veterans who end their lives every single day. And it's important for us to think about these kinds of statistics. It goes on to talk about domestic violence, particularly those that use firearms and that are often deadly. And it says this, it says, gender inequality, tolerance, and cultural acceptance of the use of violence against women and common notions of masculinity that embrace firearm possessions all combine to create a climate that places women at risk of intimate partner violence involving firearms. It goes on to talk about several steps. There are a total of 8 steps that local congregations can take to help curb gun violence. And I'm going to read them all to you. This is a little lengthy, but I think it's worth hearing. Number one, for congregations to make preventing gun violence a regular part of our conversation and prayer times. Gun violence must be worshipfully and theologically reflected on, and we encourage United Methodist churches to frame conversations theologically by using resources such as Kingdom Dreams, Violent Realities, Reflections on Gun Violence from Micah 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, produced by the General Board of Church and Society. Number two, for congregations to assist those affected by gun violence through prayer, pastoral care, creating space, and encouraging survivors to share their stories, financial assistance, and through identifying other resources in their communities as victims of gun violence and their families walk through the process of grieving and healing. Number three, for individual United Methodists who own guns as hunters or collectors to safely and securely store their guns and to teach the importance of practicing gun safety. Number four, for United Methodist congregations that have not experienced gun violence, to form ecumenical and interfaith partnerships with faith communities that have experienced gun violence in order to support them and to learn from their experiences. Number five, for United Methodist congregations to lead or join in ecumenical or interfaith gatherings for public prayer at sites where gun violence has occurred and partner with law enforcement to help prevent gun violence. Number six, for United Methodist congregations to partner with local law enforcement agencies and community groups to identify gun retailers that engage in retail practices designed to circumvent laws on gun sales and ownership, encourage full legal compliance, and to work with groups like Heeding God's Call that organize faith-based campaigns to encourage gun retailers to gain full legal compliance with appropriate standards and laws. Number seven, for United Methodist congregations to display signs that prohibit carrying guns onto church property. And number eight, this is the longest one, for United Methodist congregations to advocate for United Methodist congregations to advocate at the local and national level for laws that prevent or reduce gun violence. Some of these measures include these bullet points: universal background checks on all gun purchases, ratification of the Arms Trade Treaty, ensuring all guns are sold through licensed gun retailers, prohibiting all individuals convicted of violent crimes from purchasing a gun for a fixed time period, prohibiting all individuals under restraining order due to threat of violence from purchasing a gun, prohibiting persons with serious mental illness who pose a danger to themselves and their communities from purchasing a gun, ensuring greater access to services for those suffering from mental illness, establishing a minimum age of 21 years for a gun purchase or possession, banning large-capacity ammunition magazines and weapons designed to fire multiple rounds each time the trigger is pulled, and finally, promoting new technologies to aid law enforcement agencies to trace crime guns and promote public safety. This is a summary of the official statement of the United Methodist Church on gun violence. Now, I was asked not only for the perspective of the United Methodist Church, but I was asked for my personal voice. And so I wish to share with you my personal voice, and I share this as a father, I share this as a human. I do not share this as necessarily your representative. I'm not trying to be your voice. I'm trying to say this with only my voice. Thursday morning when I took my youngest son, Zachary, to school, who sat up here with me just a moment ago, I stood with tears in my eyes, because he asked me to stand with him to talk to his principal and say how he felt scared to be at school. It broke my heart to stand and hear my son talk about how frightened he was to be at the place where he should learn and he should enjoy and he should play. It broke my heart. My friends, I share these statistics with you from the Gun Violence Archive. These statistics from this year, 2018, only 2018. The total number of incidents of gun violence in this year has been 7,020. There have been 1,935 deaths, 3,343 injuries. 71 children, 11 and under, have been killed. 379 children between the ages of 12 and 17 have been killed. There have been 32 mass shootings. There have been 41 incidents of an officer-involved shooting, where the officer was shot or killed. There have been 312 incidents of an officer-involved shooting where the suspect was shot or killed. There have been 285 home invasions, 194 defensive uses, and 229 unintentional shootings. And this does not include suicides. Something has to be done. Something has to be done. There are, in our federal government, there are laws waiting to be debated that are not being debated. My friends, we have to have the conversation. If we're going to have a conversation about limiting access, let's have the conversation. If we're going to have conversations about better access to mental health care, let's have the conversation. If we're going to have conversation about some other thing that I can't think about, we have to have the conversation, but we're not doing it. We're not having the conversation. We're not talking about it, and it's not getting any better, and our families, our kids are dying, and it's not good enough. We have to do something. And if we get on Twitter, if we get on Facebook, if we get on camera, if we say to our friends, thoughts and prayers and don't do anything else, my friends, thoughts and prayers without action, in my opinion, is blasphemy. It's not enough. We must do something, and we have to start by having the damn conversation. This is hard to talk about. But whether or not it's hard to talk about, we have to have the conversation. Whether or not we are strong proponents of the Second Amendment or are in favor of restrictions, we have to have the conversations. Whether or not we think the problem is weapons or mental illness, we have to have the conversation. And we're not doing it yet. We're not doing it yet. And we must. We must. If you would like to talk more with me about this, if you agree, if you disagree, anything, I'm happy to have this conversation. Let us continue to speak in care and in love with one another.